We are all familiar with the notion that capitalism is a form of slavery, wage slavery. Today I'm going to share an article which takes a contingent but slightly different tack. Although the author doesn't use the term, I will call it time slavery. If you're not familiar with the theory of an original affluent society, it's a theory that claims that pre-agricultural hunter-gatherer societies, in the main, were able to satisfy all their needs very efficiently and in a timely manner that left plenty of time for leisure and recreation. This theory was first articulated by Marshall Sahlins at a symposium entitled Man the Hunter in 1966. In 1999, Jaron Diamond, the well-known author of Gun, Germs, and Steel, published an article entitled The Worst Mistake in the History of the Human Race. Diamond was tacitly supporting Sahlins' theory of the original affluent society and argued that the transition from a roaming hunter-gatherer mode of existence to a settled agricultural one was a catastrophe from which we have yet to recover. Initially, agriculture and animal husbandry appeared to be of great benefit in creating an abundance of food. But this immediately led to a population explosion, and soon farmers and herdmen were toiling night and day trying to stave off starvation. And we've been toiling and sweating ever since. The other physical and social negative effects of this transition are too numerous to deal with here, but indicative of those effects on our health, skeletons from Greece and Turkey show that the average height of hunter-gatherers toward the end of the Ice Ages was 5'9" for men, 5'5" for women. With the adoption of agriculture, height crashed, and by 3000 BC had reached a low of only 5'3" for men and 5' for women. On the societal level, it marked, of course, the beginning of class differentiation and class struggle. The article I'm going to read today is entitled The Need to Work Less is a Matter of Life and Death, with a subtitle, Work Dominates Many of Our Lives, Often in Ways That Are Detrimental to Our Health and Well-Being. The article was written by David Spencer and argues that time slavery has reached an apex under present-day late capitalism. The recent May 1st holiday, he begins, that is acknowledged by most of the industrialized world, but not here in the U.S., is intimately linked to labor history and its struggles over time spent at work. In the U.S., May Day has its origins in the fight for an 8-hour workday at the end of the 19th century. This fight was and remains a quest for a broader ideal, namely the achievement of a life beyond work. Yet we are stuck by the lack of progress towards this ideal. Work is not diminished in society. Rather, it has continued to dominate our lives, often in ways that are detrimental to our health and well-being. Many U.S. workers have found themselves working more than 8-hour days. A dream of working less promoted by their forebears has turned into a nightmare of long hours of work for no extra pay. The irony, of course, is that capitalism was supposed to offer something different. It was meant to offer a life of more leisure and free time. Technology was supposed to advance in ways that would bring holidays every month, possibly every week. Luminaries like economist John Maynard Keynes dreamt of a 15-hour work week by 2030. Yet capitalism has produced the exact opposite. Its effect has been to preserve and extend work. It has also created problems in the content and meaning of work. The circumstances are such that rather than idle away and enjoy our time off on holidays, we're likely to spend it exhausted, stressed, and annoyed about a world that is less than what it can be. Work is not working. High numbers of workers are prepared to work while on holiday. Work, it seems, extends to time when workers are neither paid nor physically at work. One reason for this behavior is a pervasive work ethic. The idea of work remains strong and prevents any hint of slacking off. The work ethic can reflect, in the case of some middle-class jobs, high intrinsic rewards, but it also reflects on societal norms and imperatives that privilege and sanctify work. Needless to say, these norms and imperatives suit the material interests of employers. Another reason for workers committing to work is the pressure of financial necessity. Stagnant and falling real wages mean workers have to keep working in order to live. Keynes' dream of a 15-hour work week by 2030 assumed benevolent employers passing on the productivity gains made from technology in the form of shorter work hours. It did not contemplate a world where employers would pocket the gains for themselves at the expense of more work for workers. The demand of employers that we work more has been intensified by changes in technology that have bound us to work. Smartphones mean instant access to email and offer a constant connection to work. Being on call when not at work is part of the modern work culture. There's also a direct power aspect in the sense that work is now often precarious and insecure. people dare not show a lack of commitment for fear of losing their jobs. How better to show commitment than to attend work while ill and work during holidays? Yet all the evidence is that long hours are bad for health and ultimately productivity. Workers working long hours are more likely to have a heart attack, suffer a stroke, and experience depression. Coming to work ill is also likely to make you feel more ill and could make others around you ill. Recent research from the U.S. suggests that toxic workplaces, excessive hours, stressful work regimes, are a public health hazard. These workplaces have been shown to shorten lives. They are literally killing workers. The alternative is for employers to reorganize work. Evidence suggests shorter work hours can boost health and productivity, providing a potential win-win outcome for employers and workers. Given such evidence, why do employers keep pushing workers to work more? The simple answer relates to the capitalist system itself. The imperative for profit translates into a drive to work more. Technology, for similar reasons, becomes a tool for control and for pumping out more work. While employers may benefit from less work, they work within a system that prevents this goal. Working less is inimical to a system where profit matters more than the pursuit of well-being in and beyond work. Deaths through overwork are a necessary byproduct. If we want a better future, we need to continue the collective struggle for less work. Our lives may depend upon it. That was an article entitled "The Need to Work Less is a Matter of Life and Death" by David Spencer, professor of economics and political economy at the University of Leeds. This article was originally published on the Conversation webpage.
If dogs run free, why not we? Across the swooping plain. My ears hear a symphony of two mules, trains, and rain. The best is always yet to come. That's what they explain to me. Just do your thing, you'll be king. If dogs run free. If dogs run free, why not me? Across the swamp of time, my mind weaves a symphony and tapestry of rhyme. Oh, winds which rush my tail to thee, so it may flow and be. To each his own, it's all unknown. If dogs run free.
That was Bob Dylan. If dogs run free. The song is obviously protesting against our regimented and routinized lives. Since the song came out in 1970, things have not gone well. Nowadays, dogs no longer run free either.